We plan a mission trip with Chosen Children to Nicaragua the third week of July. And if any of you all have interest in that, and it'll be more of a general trip, doing a whole host of different things with them. But if you have interest in that, please contact our office. We do have an interest meeting that's going to be here in a couple of weeks on Super Bowl Sunday, but it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're going to be meeting at Hilldale Baptist Church at the FLC. If you have interest in that, or you have interest in the trip and just can't be there for that meeting, please let us know, because we are putting together those kinds of plans right now. It is great to be here with you and to get to fill in today for Brother Roger. I want you, if you would, to look at the text today and see those verses that Matt read. I want to add to those verses just a little bit more perspective, a message entitled, Some Things Can't Be Unseen. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go to Mark chapter 15, same place he read, but I want to back up and pick up to verse 29, and I want you to see a little bigger picture of Mark's version of the cross experience. Look at verse 29. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, Ha, the one who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself by coming down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him among themselves and saying, He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him taunted him. Now skip down to the verse right after where Mark left off, or where Matt left off. Verse 40, there were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women followed him and took care of him. Many other women came up with him to Jerusalem. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be here and to worship you. Father, we live in a day and time in which we need to see the cross. Father, we live in a world that needs to not only see the cross, but hear the message of being set free. And so, Father, I pray in these moments, you might help us to remember again the things that you've shown us, things that we cannot unsee. Guide our hearts and our minds. Help us not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. There are lots of things in all of our lives that we have seen that will stick in your mind for a long time. And I would go a step further to say there are some things that you have seen that at some level you can never unsee. Now, some of those are happy things. Let me tell you a couple of those. Around the last time I was with you all, I was telling you that we were expecting a grandbaby. Well, our grandbaby was born in November. As a matter of fact, Lord willing, I'll get to see her this afternoon, which makes it a great day for me. But a little part of that story is I can clearly remember 30 years ago this month, I was standing in Memorial Hospital in Clarksville, and they handed my brand new baby daughter to me, and I was terrified. I really was. I'm telling you, it was our first child, and I kept thinking she was going to break, or I was going to do something wrong, or whatever, And now, some 30 years later, they handed me a grandbaby, her first child. I'll never forget that. What a wonderful portrait that is. And there are a host of other wonderful things like that. I remember graduations and special events and ball games and lots of things like that that are just imprinted in the photo album of my mind, many of which I will never forget. But there are also some negative things that happen in our lives, things that we can never unsee. Let me take you back. I was in the eighth grade, and I was with my mom, and we had walked into the local Kroger store where we lived in Louisville at the time. And as we walked into the store, we're just talking about what we need to get and that kind of stuff, and she was kind of giving me some instructions. You go over here and get this, and I'll go get that, whatever. And so anyway, but just about the time we got up to the door, there was a very noisy event happening right outside the door of the grocery store. There was a car that pulled up, and the windows were down, and they were both, the two people in that car were both yelling at the top of their lungs at each other. And about the time I looked back to see this noise, the passenger door opened on the car, and a woman was shoved out of the car right onto the pavement. We looked over, and the yelling continued. She's now weeping, and the man peels out and takes off. And as I looked at her a little further, she was bleeding. She had been clearly beaten. And as a matter of fact, as I turned and really focused on her as an eighth grade boy, I almost passed out. It was so traumatic for me to see this. And the story apparently was just that she had a boyfriend and he was abusive and so on. And I can remember that there were a few people, one checker from the grocery store, and she ended up calling 911. But a lot of other people just kind of went about their business. They just kept grocery shopping. And I can remember thinking, how in the world could you keep grocery shopping when this terrible thing's happened right here, right? Well, eventually the police come and the ambulance and all that kind of stuff, and they move on. That's been a lot of years ago, and I still remember the scene. Some of you have some things like that. And the reason I tell you that little story is I want you to know that you and I live in a day of so many distractions. There are distractions all over the media. There are distractions all over our phone. There are distractions in our day-to-day lives all over the place. And it is good for us as believers from time to time to stop and focus on one of the key focal points of Scripture, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so as we look this morning at this passage and where Mark is describing the crucifixion of Jesus, I want to suggest to you that it has a great deal to say to us that might escape us if we're not careful. Because Mark is one of these people that he writes with action language, the shortest of the Gospels, and yet he packs a lot in his Gospel. And he does something that you might miss unless you look carefully at his version of the cross story. What he does is he's telling us that nobody else around the cross sees what is taking place accurately except one man, and he speaks about it. Now, I want you to look again at that text, and I want us to think about what that says to us this morning. First of all, there are a host of people that are following their own direction. Look in the portion of the text that I read. If you look actually all the way back up to verse 21 and all the way down to verse 32, there are a number of characters that are briefly introduced to us in that passage. We see Simon of Cyrene, who is pressed in to carry the cross. We see there are religious leaders, scribes and Pharisees, who are walking around proudly making fun of Jesus. There are some that are walking by, and they really don't have any idea what's going on. Some of them are just joining in the sort of mob thought here of just hurling insults at Jesus. There are two other people, one on either cross, and each of them have some things to say. We know one of them was particularly ugly to Jesus as he went to the cross and hung on the cross. And so there are a lot of other characters that are around the story, but what you see about them is that each of them in their own way is saying what is said to us in verse 32. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that, catch this, we may see and believe. The reason that's important is because what they were saying is, if you'll follow my agenda, if you'll do what we tell you to do and get down off that cross, we're going to really believe you're somebody special. When in reality, exactly the opposite was what they needed. They needed Jesus to stay on that cross. They needed Jesus to breathe his last and to make a sacrifice for all of us. As a matter of fact, if you look at the story the way that Mark tells it, even those who are with Jesus, look if you would at verse 40, there were also women watching, catch us, from a distance. Now, we're not told all of what they are thinking for sure, but here's what we know. Whether they were for Jesus or against Jesus, it seems in Mark's version of the gospel, they are missing what is happening. And I think that's so important for us to understand, because you and I are living in a culture today that is so caught up in every other thing that our world has missed what happened on the cross. Now, quick side note, absolutely the cross is significant and connected to the fact that Jesus would soon leave behind an empty tomb. So we're not focusing as much on that this morning, but let's just be clear. He went to the cross and he left behind an empty tomb. But in these moments, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, people are milling around him, doing their own thing. And what they're saying to Jesus is simply this: if you'll follow my agenda, then I'll believe. Folks, that's where our world is today. In many ways, much of our world have agendas that are exactly the opposite to what God's word said. If you look at everything that's happening in terms of family structures, if you look today at what's happening in morality and all those kinds of things, one of the greatest values of life today is simply this. People want you to affirm their agenda, whatever it is they're doing. And if you don't affirm my agenda, you obviously hate me. Here's the second thing. There is a huge streak of the only good kind of life is life with absolutely no restraints or barriers. And so when you and I come to the gospel of Jesus, we bump right into the cross. Why? Because there is only one agenda that will save you and me. It is the agenda of a Savior who was willing to go to the cross for us, to step down from heaven, to put on flesh and breathe air, to walk through his life, and to be without sin, and then to be willing to lay that life down for us. What a wonderful gift Jesus was giving on that day. But our world is so caught up in all that is going on that many are missing the cross. It's amazing when you share the gospel with people how often people will give you their version of things. And one of the versions that you hear today is, well, I just do things that feel right. I just do things that sort of match with my heart. I just follow my passion. Well, the Bible also says this in the book of Proverbs. There is a way that seems right unto a man. The end thereof is death. And so what it literally is saying to us is this: if you and I just follow our own wits, we are lost and we need Jesus. And so when we look at this picture here that Mark is portraying for us, he shows us all these things so very briefly written down here, all the things that are going on here. And as we see that picture, what we find is that the crowds can be confused. The crowds, by the way, can be much greater in number. They can be the majority. Much of that we see in our culture today. But just because someone is part of a majority does not make them right. And so what Jesus is doing for us on the cross is he's pointing us to the one way of hope. And there was but one in Mark's story who could not unsee it. The second thing I want you to see about the cross is in the middle of history, God took action. God took action. One of the great struggles of the Christian life sometimes is for us to go through an experience or see an experience and honestly before God to struggle with how God could allow this thing to happen or that thing to happen or this thing to turn this way or whatever. Let's be honest. We struggle with those things sometimes. And even sometimes we turn towards God and say, God, how could this situation or that situation happen? But here's one great piece of hope for all of us who've ever struggled with something like that. At just the right time, God spoke. He spoke as Jesus came down from heaven, born of a virgin, and eventually went to the cross. The message of the cross was physically coming together as the gospel, even as Jesus would take his last breaths. So what that literally means is that every single one of us are loved by God. We are loved by God. But just as true as that is that every single one of us have been marked and scarred by sin, by our disobedience to God. And because our God is a holy God, a pure God, there is a way through. There is but one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he went to the cross, offering to be a sacrifice, a substitute for us on the cross, so that we might know the hope of eternal life. What a great picture for us here. And so what was happening, even as God interrupted history right there in that first century, what was happening for us is the gospel literally was being carried out for us. And the events of God's action are often overlooked. They are often misunderstood. It's interesting sometimes how something can happen in your life and to everybody else, it's no big deal. Sometimes you might be driving by on the road and you see a fender bender, you know, just a minor accident. And you just drive right on by, right? But if you're one of those people in that fender bender accident, your perspective is a whole lot different, isn't it? I learned this as a pastor. Surgery that's happening to you is minor surgery. Surgery that's happening to me is major surgery. What our perspective is so different. And so what happens is sometimes our world hears the stories of the Bible. Our world hears snippets. That's what I see today. People see and hear snippets out of the Bible, and they just make up their own opinions about what they think about God through that. And so many people have such different pictures of what God is like and who he is. And some see God as sort of this great grandfatherly guy who isn't really able to do much, but every once in a while he answers a prayer or helps something out. There are some people who see that God has some good things to say, but really it doesn't make a huge difference in your life day to day. You got to figure that out on your own. Some people look at God and they feel that God is unfair, or perhaps in their own mind they're angry at God about the things that he has said. Can I just remind you, when you see anger and rage across our culture, very often that anger or rage is not really pointed where you think it's being pointed. It's very often pointed at our God. You see, the events of God's actions are often overlooked and misunderstood. Salvation still brings life change, though. For those who have trusted Jesus, our Savior still sets people free. What happened on that cross so long ago is for us the message that if you are struggling with addiction, our God can set you free. It is the message that says the scars and the pain of your past can be turned into a situation where they are healed and then they are now a testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness. The message of what happened on the cross is for us a reminder that in a world full of stuff, people are empty, but our God gives purpose and direction. The cross is a reminder to all of us that wherever we've been, our God still loved us. What a great reminder to us that salvation is still available. And while a person has one more breath, there is an invitation to them to know hope and life through Jesus. Well, God interrupted history, not only in Bethlehem, but also at Calvary and in that empty tomb. But there was one unlikely witness. And that character is found in verse 39. When the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." You need to be reminded that the four Gospels all tell the story of Jesus from slightly different perspectives. They're often emphasizing different things. For example, Matthew is primarily written to an audience that come out of a Jewish background, while Luke is primarily written for people who come out of a Gentile background, just for example. But when you come to the Gospel of Mark, what Mark is saying, among other things, is I just want you to see that most people missed what was happening. But there was this guy. And he was the most unlikely guy. He was the centurion. What does that really mean? Who is he? Well, the centurion was a mature and experienced soldier. He was somebody who was familiar with responsibility and accountability. He was a person who probably had seen everything when it came to the assignments that he had been tasked with. He led a group of soldiers whose responsibility was to carry out the Roman form of capital punishment. You just got to imagine that he was hardened by the things he had seen. And yet in those moments as he watched the events taking place, probably he didn't have to do anything with his own hands. There were soldiers doing a lot of those things. But he's witnessing all these things. He's seeing the other people around. And he's watching how that man on the middle cross is responding. He hears the things that Jesus says from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." "John, Mary, John, you take care of Mary." "I'm thirsty." He says things that give that centurion a picture of who Jesus is, including, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished." What a great portrait of what that centurion saw. And what you and I see is that the centurion looked at all that and he said, "There's something different about that guy. There's something different about the way he met his end." And it wasn't that the soldiers had gone easy on him or whatever, but what he saw was in the midst of a brutal scene, there was something different about that guy. And that guy, according to this Gentile soldier, said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Let me tell you why that's so important. It's so important because what Mark was saying is in the midst of all the distraction, if you and I will but look clearly, Jesus matters. The cross matters. And I have a feeling in his life he could never unsee what he saw. Disciples themselves were struggling to understand, but the centurion saw it. Years ago, I was pastoring a church in another state. We had a large staff, and one night I came in, very early. I'd gotten a phone call. You need to come to the office. I go to the office, and when I get there, the chief of police of our town is sitting in my office. And the reason is because, unbeknownst to me until that moment, someone had broken into our church and into our offices specifically. But unbeknownst to them, we had just installed a camera system. And so the chief of police was actually waiting for me to get there so that we could pull out the video stuff. We saw some crazy things on the video. The people who broke in literally stayed there for like an hour. They didn't know they're on camera. It's the middle of the night. They're doing all kind of stuff. You know, there's a hat on a hat rack, and they put that on, kind of, you know, laughing and kind of stuff anyway. But the funny thing was, not funny, the person who broke in was an employee of the church and had tried to steal some money because they knew this was the office. But in the midst of that, they didn't know they were on camera. Smile. You're on camera, right? I tell you that to say that Mark took a snapshot of this guy who's saying, that man is the Son of God. And the last thing I want you to see is this. That witness of the crucifixion asks us to look at Jesus. And so let me ask you some questions this morning. First of all, have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you've never done that, none of us is promised tomorrow. Today, you could trust Jesus and follow him. I'd be glad to pray with you about that before you leave this place. Secondly, are there some of us here, and we have gotten so distracted by everything. It could be things in the church, it can be things in culture and our lives, whatever, and we have lost sight of the fact that we have a supernatural Savior who left behind an empty tomb. Would you focus this morning again on the cross? Maybe you strayed from the Lord. You need to come back to his side today. Thirdly, this. In our culture, it is so easy for us to draw a line and go, it's us against them. It's those of us who believe the right things against those who don't. Can I just remind you that all those on the other side of the line need Jesus? They need Jesus. Do you love them? Are you doing your best to shine a light on the cross for those people? Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, all that you and I would be people who point others to Jesus so that they too can't unsee what they have seen. Knowing that the Holy Spirit will do his work to convict people and to clarify things for lost people and so they can see the gospel, may you and I be people who would say, let me tell you something. I saw something in my life and I can never unsee it. It was the cross of Jesus. Church, can I tell you that when we focus on that cross, everything else falls into proper focus. Everything else falls into proper focus. It was about a year ago that I came and preached for what has been a number of times over the last year. My prayer for Lone Oak, as you move forward, may we see the cross clearly. And may we be a church that that points other people to the Jesus that was on that cross and left behind an empty tomb. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father and God, we are so grateful for the fact that our Savior went to the cross. Thank you for that soldier who saw Jesus and called it as he saw it. I pray in these moments, if there's a person here who's never trusted you, they might be willing to lay their agenda down and trust you for salvation and hope. Lord, I pray that if there's a person here who's just been so distracted by everything else, I pray they might come to the foot of the cross today. Maybe some of those folks need to come and pray at the front of this sanctuary. Lord, maybe there's someone here who would say, I've got people in my heart and life, and I've forgotten the fact that they need Jesus, and I get frustrated with them, and I forget the fact that they need the Lord. Help us, Lord, to lift up by name people who need Jesus before you today. Guide us, Father. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You come and pray. As we sing, the opportunity's open. The front of this sanctuary is open for you today.